Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan.
So, brand new studios this week.
Indeed. All nice and sparkly and shiny.
Absolutely. We're going to be setting up this new studio here, getting some additional audio recording equipment in, and hopefully you'll be noticing an improving quality in this in the audio of this podcast over the coming weeks and months. So we're really looking forward to that. But yeah, new Tech Central HQ and all ready for the next stage of growth. Candace, yeah, let's get straight into this week's podcast, episode number 17. And the big news, obviously, in the last week has been coming out of Zambia, out of Lusaka, where the SADC communications ministers have been meeting. And the news that the SADC region has recommended that South Africa, or rather the region, go for the European standard for digital terrestrial television and not the Japanese / Brazilian standard, which governments in the region have been lobbied to adopt. I think the broadcasters have generally welcomed this development. Tell us more, Candace.
Well, yes, they have, but very cautiously. We're still waiting, obviously, for the communications ministry to come out and place their stance on the table. Obviously, with the new minister, we're hoping that the DOC will follow the recommendations of the SADC committee that made this decision. Mm. But interestingly, the decision is not just DVB-T, the European standard that we chose in 2006 of the Geneva signing, but the upgraded version of that, which is a very interesting scenario. But the SADC committee has left a little leeway for choices of other standards, just that they have to be ratified and they have to be agreed to.
So there is a chance that the South African government could still tell us that we're going to go for the Brazilian Japanese standard rather than the European standard. But bear in mind that this whole discussion emanated from the first place from the South African Department of Communications, which had decided to entertain the Brazilian lobbyists and later the Japanese lobbyists, and that's why this whole process was revisited. Now, of course, the bureaucrats and the politicians who were involved in that decision to re-examine the standard have gone, namely Mamadupi Motlala, the Director General, and the Minister Sipiwe Nyanda, and have been replaced with, well, we currently have an acting Director General, but we have a new minister in Roy Pariachi. So who knows what their view on this is going to be, but given the pragmatic approach that Pariachi has taken so far in the ministry, I'm guessing that he's going to agree with the recommendations put forward by the SADC task team, and that South Africa is in fact going to go for DVB-T2.
Well, with any luck, those are the mutterings we're hearing from our sources, obviously, and what will be interesting now to see is whether or not the broadcasters and the signal distributors, the likes of Centec, will go from the DVB rollout, which they've been doing for a while, to the DVB-T2 rollout. My sources indicate that it's more likely that everybody will dive straight into DVB-T2.
Yeah, I mean, the MultiChoice and ETV have already run a T2 test pilot network in Soweto, and by all accounts, that's been very successful. I don't think moving from T1 to T2 is a major major process. I think they're not going to have to replace all the equipment they put on the broadcasting towers, for example. So I think it's going to be a relatively easy process, and one hopes that we will go straight to T2. It'd be great to be at the cutting edge of technology, and more importantly, and I think this is the really big advantage in going for T2, is T2 is what they call more spectrally efficient. In other words, you can shove more television channels into the same amount of available spectrum. So it actually makes it possible for you to launch HD channels on terrestrial services, where it's less. While you can do HD channels on T1, there's just more spectrum available, and it makes more sense to offer one or two or even three HD channels using the T2 service. And I think flowing from an interview I had with the CEO of Top TV, or rather On Digital Media, which owns Top TV, last week, Vino Govender, Top TV is going to be launching high-definition channels towards the end of next year. And the reason they say they're doing that is they're actually seeing strong demand in the category below the traditional LSM 9 and 10, where the sort of technology is adopted first. He said that at He was speaking to a television retailer at Moponya Mall in Soweto, where all the TVs they're selling these days basically are HD TVs. And there's a demand among LSM 5, 6, and 7, 8, and 8 for HD services. So I think it makes real sense for South Africa to get HD terrestrial services as soon as we switch off from analog. In fact, I'd argue that if we only launch standard definition on the digital terrestrial platform, we're actually going to be a bit behind the rest of the world.
Guaranteed. It only makes sense to go digital, to go HD or at least high definition these days, specifically when we're looking at what's being sold and what the demand is. People want it. And you know, it goes without saying that it's a definite value add.
Yeah. So good. Let's hope Pagliacci and his cabinet colleagues reach their conclusion and their decision soon so that Sentech can get on with the job of rolling out, hopefully, DVB-T2 so that we can get that analog signal switched off so that the so-called digital dividend spectrum that's going to be freed up can be offered as soon as possible to operators to start to deploy the next generation of mobile networks, LTE and long-term evolution and eventually advanced LTE or fourth generation mobile networks, which we should start to see in this country from mid to late this decade.
Well, assuming that the digital dividend comes up soon, with any luck.
Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely reliant on us switching off the analog signal. Although someone pointed out to me the other day, and I'd actually forgotten this, Neotel actually already uses digital dividend spectrum. They do something called interleaving in the 800 megahertz band, which is the same band used for, I think it's the UHF band, for television broadcasting, and they actually share that spectrum on their CDMA network. So there's both television broadcasts and CDMA telephony services being offered in that range. And apparently I was chatting to one of the executives at Neotel over lunch recently, and he said there's been no cases of interference whatsoever in the network. So really interesting. So there's some interesting sort of angles to this thing, but a big chunk of spectrum is going to be opened up, I believe, somewhere from around the upper 600 megahertz up to the lower 800 megahertz range. So a big chunk of spectrum, low frequency, so it's great for indoor use as well and for delivering broadband in rural areas as well.
Fantastic news.
Good. Well, while we're talking about broadband, Cell C in the news again. I don't think there's a week has gone past since we launched this podcast, but Cell C hasn't actually been in the news. But Candice, you've been following this one. They announced at the weekend that they are effectively adding value to their data bundles after some consumer feedback, and that effectively the prices are coming down again.
Yes, so two big announcements. The first one was that they have upped their 2 gigabyte bundle, which would cost 400 rand, they have the 2 gigabyte bundle, which cost 400 rand, up to now 3 gigabyte bundle for the same price, effectively dropping the effective per megabyte rate to 13 cents. Out of bundle for contract subscribers pay that same price as well, the lowest out of bundle rate in the country at the moment. The big deal though is this rate is effectively really going for the ADSL pricing and not necessarily for wireless broadband pricing.
Yeah, you spoke to Arthur Goldstuck this week, and he indicated to you that Cell C is not so much playing on the same field as MTN and Vodacom, but is rather going after Telkom.
It seems that way. He was pretty adamant about it, and he says that basically what's happened is that Cell C has now come out as possibly one of the lowest wireless broadband providers globally, let alone in South Africa.
Very interesting. You know, with the high telecom rental costs for broadband, particularly if you're on a fast connection, a four megabit per second connection like we use here at Tech Central, the line rental alone, the broadband line rental alone, excluding the old analog line rental or whatever you call it, costs 414 rand a month. So before you've even transferred one byte of data across your network, you're investing 414 rand a month. Here on Cell C, you can get 3 gigabytes of bandwidth for less than that, for 400 rand a month. So something has to give here. I think we're seeing a new level being set in the market, and we're starting to see, for the first time, the mobile operators become competitive to fixed line. And I think this is going to have to prompt internet service providers like Telkom and others to cut their prices again. I think there's that the whole value that MWeb introduced with its uncapped offering, I think that's going to have to spread through the market. And I think it's just a matter of time now before fixed line operators and service providers are going to have to differentiate themselves with either very high caps at low cost or uncapped broadband.
I think that what will change the price and what will really make the difference is if the local loop is unbundled. Get those ADSL lines into the hands of other providers and create competition. Until such time as those lines are being competed for, we're going to see the same price of 414 Rand for a 4 megabit per second line.
Yeah, it's one of the last, it's one of the last vestiges of Telkom's monopoly is the local loop.
Absolutely.
Roy Padiachi, the communications minister, made the point at a press conference recently that he wants the local loop unbundled by November next year. But I think there's going to be quite a big fight here. Telkom is going to push very hard for certainly they're going to lobby very hard as to why they should be getting a certain rate from other providers who want access to its local loop. And I think there may be a bit of a bun fight over that because Telkom is going to want to keep that rate high.
Of course they are. They've always claimed that they make a loss on those lines.
They make a profit. They make a loss. It's called the access deficit. They make a loss on the basic line rental. But I know for a fact that on the 4 meg line, I think even on the 512 kilobit per second line, they make a decent margin. I think on the 384 product, they claim they're not making much margin. But certainly on the faster broadband speeds, they've got very healthy margin in there.
Well, there you go. See, the thing is that the broadband providers have actually done what they can. Like you say, MWeb's uncapped value is unparalleled in the market, and there are there's several other providers that have really dropped the capped rates to the minimum and kept up, the quality. Mm. So what we need now is to see the physical lines, the actual access points, lowered in terms of pricing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think Vodacom and MTN are going to react to this. Whether it'll happen before Christmas, I don't know, but certainly by early next year, I think they're going to have to respond to Cell C. I think we mentioned in last week's podcast that both MTN and Vodacom watch the metrics very, very closely in these business intelligence systems that they run, and they can see when they start to lose market share, and they react very quickly to that. So I think any sign that they're hemorrhaging market share to Cell C, and these guys are going to react. It's a bit cynical, I know. Sit back and wait to see how the market reacts before adopting your pricing, but I think Cell C's new data bundle pricing, the new not the original data bundle pricing for the high data products or the high usage products, but the new prices will force down per megabyte pricing to the sort of 12 to 15 cents level, I think.
Well, it has to, something's got to give, and they have to respond.
And it's great news. It has to happen, and that trend will continue. For years to come as operators manage to get their costs down and as we get more fiber in the ground and bigger pipes in the core network and in the access network.
Well, it just goes to show what valuable competition can actually do for a market.
Yeah, absolutely. You actually don't want a price war. Consumers always say, let's have a price war. You don't want operators to cut their prices to such an extent that they can't then reinvest in the network because you need them to continue to invest to get, to deploy the latest technologies, 4G, for example, or fiber to the home in the case of the fixed line networks. You need those guys to have the cash to be able to continue to reinvest in the network. So you don't want a devastating price war. But the sort of gradual price declines over time, I think, is good for the market.
Absolutely.
Good. Let's talk a bit more about politics. Why not? So Piyu Nyanda, back in the news, apparently spurned a offer from President Jacob Zuma to become the new ambassador to Germany. As you know, Candace, the current ambassador to Germany is gravely ill after a car accident. I believe it happened a couple of months ago now. He's the former chairman of the SABC and controversially was involved in this recent Centec Screamer Spectrum fiasco. Eddie Fundy, I believe, is gravely ill and they're looking for a new ambassador to Germany. But Eyewitness News reported a week or two back that he spurned the offer, didn't want it.
Apparently for a reason.
Yeah, there's talk that that he is interested in assuming higher political office.
He is a very adept politician, and he's been playing the game for a very long time, and there's no surprise that he has high ambitions.
Yes.
In the local political sphere.
I wouldn't be surprised I would guess that Zuma was really trying to sideline him by offering him the position to Germany, but now it appears that he's been forced He has offered Inyanda this position as liaison to him in Parliament, a new responsibility, very senior responsibility that puts him very close to the presidency.
Indeed, it's a position that I thought would have been assumed by the deputy president, but it seems that this new position has been created for Inyanda himself. Not sure whether Jacob Zuma prefers to keep him closer.
What's the old phrase? Keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. Yeah, yes. I think that may be a case of what we have here. I do understand that Inyanda was very, very angry about the fact that he was axed as communications minister. This may have been... this position was clearly created for Inyanda and... He's been appeased. He's in a position. Zuma has appeased him with this position. What Inyanda's ultimate aims are, whether he perhaps eventually sees himself as president of the country, who knows?
But the thing is, it's a good position for him politically. If he does respond well to it, and he garners some respect, it could really do well for him.
Mm. Yeah, watch the space. We haven't heard the last of Sipiwe Inyanda.
Not in the least.
Candice, let's take a break. We'll be back after the short break.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN. Lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. Candice, tell us a bit about BlackBerry. You've been chatting to various people in the market, to Vodacom, to MTN, about how this company, or rather this product, the company is Research in Motion from Canada, makes the BlackBerry line of smartphone devices, has really transformed itself. A couple of years ago, BlackBerry users were really seen as sort of your corporate nerds and your guys who, were in wearing grey suits and walking around with their noses pressed into their email. That's really changed, hasn't it? The BlackBerrys, you walk into high school now and you're more likely to see BlackBerry devices there than anything else. Well, how did this transformation happen?
Well, it's a funny thing, and a lot of people have different views. But for the South African market specifically, there are a couple of things that seem to have really driven this this change of view of the BlackBerry. And it's certainly not the look, because it still looks pretty formal and boring.
the new torch looks pretty cool.
It does, actually. it's quite a nice toy. But the interesting figure I got from Vodacom was that the BlackBerry sales, or at least the use of BlackBerry services on Vodacom's network in the prepaid market, has skyrocketed year on year by 1,000%. It's a huge figure.
That's amazing. That's the number of devices sold on the Vodacom network in the past year. Well, the number of devices in use on its network in the past year.
It's just crazy. That for me is explosive growth. Mm. And I think part of it is there's a twofold issue here. The first is that for roughly 60 rand a month on Vodacom and on MTN, you get unlimited surfing, which includes things like social networking, Facebook and Twitter. It includes unlimited access to your emails, surf as much as you like. For that amount of uncapped price.
Yeah, it's about 60 bucks a month. Yeah.
Another reason that the Research in Motion head locally mentioned was that BlackBerry Messenger, fondly called BBM, being a free service between BlackBerry users, has also become particularly popular.
Making inroads against Mixit, I understand. I mean, Mixit owned by NASPAT really dominated the instant messaging on cell phone space for a long time, but that sounds like BBM, BlackBerry Messenger, is making some serious inroads.
Absolutely. The Research in Motion says that globally there's about 28 million users on the network using BBM, which is it's quite a decent figure.
28 million, yeah. It's not massive. I mean, it's not the sort of levels you see for things like QQ in China. Or some of these other instant messaging applications, even Google Talk and certainly MSN Messenger. But
being a free service, it's fantastic.
It's a free service, and the others are also free, but this is you don't pay for the data on the on the device.
I also use Google Talk on my BlackBerry, mm-hmm. and I don't pay for the data on that either.
Oh, that's a good point. That's included in the it's because BlackBerry uses this very very smart compression technique on the server at the operator. That they can actually do this because every time you make a request, the information is shrunk down to a much smaller size and then only then distributed over the network. So the overheads, you don't end up using as much network traffic as you would, say, for example, if you're using an iPhone or an Android device.
Absolutely. The one problem is that you're stuck using the BlackBerry browser, which for older devices that aren't yet running the new BlackBerry OS 6 is quite a pain because there's a lot of stuff that needs... The browsing experience is not great on BlackBerry's browser, but that is going to change in the next couple of weeks as the new operating system
You're using a BlackBerry Bold there, Candice. Are you going to are you going to get BlackBerry OS 6 on that, or will existing BlackBerry OS 5 users get OS 6?
As far as I understand, yes, the Bold will upgrade to OS 6. I'm not sure about older devices.
Okay. Good. So, have any word yet on when the new software is going to arrive?
No.
Not yet. Okay. While we're on the subject of handsets, I think let's talk a little bit about DStv Mobile's launch last week. And 5 years in the waiting for this. They launched their test network back in 2005. Finally got their license a couple of months ago. MultiChoice, that is. And DStv Mobile, the first DVB-H digital terrestrial television for mobile service, has been launched in South Africa. We're not one of the first in Africa. MultiChoice has launched the same service in a number of markets around Africa, where it managed to get commercial operating licenses earlier. The really interesting thing for me is whether this is going to be a success. Do you really want to watch television on your mobile phone?
Well, having tested their 3G streaming service, which they launched not too long ago, no. I have to be honest, it's not my thing. However, my brother's little kids are extremely excited about watching Cartoon Network on my brother's phone at the restaurant when there's nothing else to do. So yes, there will be a place for it, definitely. Kids. Whether or not, you know, I wouldn't mind checking the cricket score every 2.5 hours. I'm not saying that because I'm working, but you know, that kind of thing is just—it's not a mass market appeal. Mm. It's going to appeal to a niche market.
They're definitely going for the sports fans. They're launching their three premium Super Sport channels, all three of them on this platform: Super Sport 1, Super Sport 2, and Super Sport 3.
Yeah.
So you're getting the rugby, Super Sport 1. I think Super Sport 2 is it cricket, and Super Sport 3 soccer.
I think
the other way around. I can't remember.
And Blitz, as you can tell, I'm not much of a magazine show.
Yeah, not much of a sports fan myself, but they're clearly going after the sports market, and I think that probably makes sense. You know, these interminably long cricket games are gone for 5 days. You know, some guys love this stuff. Yes. And Candice, I think you're one of them. you know, you can't watch these games when you're sitting at the office. I mean, very few people actually have a TV in their office, but now you can just prop up your cell phone on your desk and keep an eye on it. God knows what it's going to do to productivity in South Africa.
Nothing that Facebook or Crick Info hasn't already killed.
But I can't imagine sitting down and watching a movie on my phone.
I battle on my PC screen, which is very large screen, and you know, I have my big 42-inch plasma to watch my movies on. That's I don't see myself sitting through an hour and a half on my mobile.
The pricing seems pretty good though. R36 a month for a kids channel, three sports channels, an entertainment channel, music channel, and a couple of other offerings. $36 a month, it doesn't sound too bad. They've obviously priced this thing to sell, and you're going to be able to get it through your mobile service provider as well.
Maybe that's exactly it. Maybe that's exactly why they've priced it so low, is to target a market of customers that don't have 42-inch large screen TVs or access to any other point of DSTV, multi-choice.
The service is free until, when is it? April the 1st, I think.
It sounds like it is.
Yeah, you can check it out. But it is only available on a limited number of handsets at the moment, some Nokia devices. Basically, your phone has to support DVB-H. The iPhone doesn't, the BlackBerry doesn't, my Android device doesn't. But there is a mobile decoder, which MultiChoice is offering. It costs 500 Rand, if I remember correctly. And basically, this thing receives the signal and then pushes it out over Wi-Fi to your handset, but then only a limited number of handsets are supported at this stage, namely the iPhone, the iPad, and I think that might be it. There are one or two other devices that it works with, but certainly the software isn't available for Android or BlackBerry yet. That's coming in 2011. So if you have one of those phones and you're a TV addict, you're just going to have to wait, I'm afraid, or watch it on your big screen TV. What else happened in the last week? Vox Telecom's results, talking about their massive write-down of goodwill related to the Vox Orion acquisition and various write-downs in other parts of their business related to the reduction in wholesale mobile call termination rates, obviously affected Vox Orion in a big way because it's a big player in the least cost routing market, which takes advantages of these sort of arbitrage opportunities that were created by high wholesale call costs, particularly in the mobile environment. That market's obviously disappearing quite quickly, and Vox is busy with the process of migrating those customers onto its own network. It's a bit early these days so far to know whether how successful they're going to be with that, and hopefully we'll have some further detail towards the middle of next year when they release their next set of results. But one of the things that came out of the results presentation for me, which was really interesting, was that Vox is going to be offering a product called Yarsat in South Africa from the end of next year in conjunction with a Dubai-based company, also called Yarsat, Y-A-H-Sat, offering, I don't know if you can call it broadband at the entry level, 256 kilobits a second and up to 10 megabits a second via satellite. And they're talking of pricing of 500 Rand and below. So yet another alternative to the mobile networks in terms of broadband and another alternative in terms of the fixed lines. So more competition and Vox getting more into the infrastructure, telecoms infrastructure business. I'm looking forward to that launching. I think many people, if it's priced correctly, many people we'll take it as a backup internet service. In fact, we may even do it here at Tech Central.
It makes sense because satellite is pretty reliable, obviously, until the weather hits in a particular bad way. But, you know, much like any other provider that we have at the moment. But, yeah, definitely is a good alternative to fixed line and to mobile.
Yeah, and I think as prices come down, you're going to see that happening more and more. It's guys who were reliant on one connection previously just because of the cost. You know, they couldn't afford two connections. You know, as prices come down, they're not necessarily going to reduce their telecom spend, but they may get an alternative provider into their premises as a backup. So when one line goes down, as it invariably does because someone digs up the road or the satellite gets shot out down by the Russians or something, you have an alternative. And that sort of redundancy is great. And as prices come down, people will be able to afford that and it'll grow the market.
Well, I think it's fantastic because satellite internet has sort of been a forgotten market in this country. Across Africa, it's been very popular and been used quite extensively, but in South Africa, it hasn't really.
Yes, yes.
So it's nice to see that other technologies are getting used.
Yeah. MTN, their directors have been buying and selling shares at quite a rapid rate over the last couple of weeks.
Indeed.
Betume Ntlekwa he sold a huge chunk of shares, over 400 million rands, although some of that was used, we don't know how much was used to settle some sort of loan facility he had with one of the big banks. He's just bought another 40 million rands worth of shares through the new MTN empowerment, Zakhele empowerment scheme. That's a lot of money, a lot of shares, and quite interesting that he's making that purchase given that he's on his way out. He's due to leave MTN in March, making way for a successor, a still unnamed successor. Perhaps he has some insight into who that new successor will be and has confidence that he will take MTN forward. But I think interesting how the MTN directors have been selling and MTN senior managers have been selling and buying shares recently. We saw Santi Buerta, the marketing director, offloading a big chunk of shares, I think in the region of 12 or 13 million rand worth of shares. And we saw Carl Pienaar, the MD of MTN South Africa, offload about 15 million rands worth of shares. So we should have some news soon on where this organization is going in terms of its top leadership. A little bird told me the other day that the board of directors of MTN is meeting on the 3rd of December, and that the whole issue of succession and will be discussed at that meeting. And in fact, we should know soon after that meeting who is going to replace Phuthuma Nhleko as group CEO.
It was good news because MTN is running out of time in terms of finding a successor. According to contractual agreement, Phuthuma leaves, what, March next year?
March, that's right. That's the end of his contract. He certainly has... they are certainly rather taking their time in finding a successor, but that's probably the right thing to do for the board. This is a very big company that's come a long way in the last five to 10 years, and they need to find the caliber of leadership to take over and take forward the incredible work that Phuthuma Nhleko in particular has done in building this company into one of South Africa's largest corporate enterprises.
But by the same token, Phuthuma will also need to at least a lengthy period to hand over to whoever takes over.
It depends, actually, Candice, because if it's going to go to the current chief operating officer, and there's been a lot of talk in the market that Sifiso Dabengwa will get the job, then he and Nhleko and Dabengwa have worked together for at least 5 years. So maybe the amount of handing over that will need to be done is relatively minimal, assuming they go for Dabengwa. Certainly, if they get an outside appointment, there's going to have to be a lengthy handing over period.
Well, perhaps the time it's taken for MTN to find a replacement is more telling than we thought before.
Well, we should know next week, so watch Tech Central. We'll have the news up first. Lastly this week, Candice, Telkom, as you know, is pulling out of... pulling out of its wireless operation in Nigeria, Multilinx. It's probably going to keep some assets it has there, some of the fiber. It's got about 5,000 kilometers of its own fiber optic infrastructure, which is quite valuable in the ground in Nigeria. But they're getting out of the wireless CDMA business. That was announced by Jeffrey Hedberg last week at Telkom's results presentation. But this has not gone down well with another JSE-listed company, Blue Label Telecoms.
Indeed, a subsidiary of Blue Label in Nigeria has a 10-year signed exclusive contract to distribute exclusively for Multilinx in Nigeria, which obviously Multilinx can no longer uphold since
they want the concept. They've said we're going to cancel the contract.
They have basically cancelled the contract already. While Blue Label subsidiary has accepted the cancellation of the contract, it is on its way out to find some sort of reparations.
It's going to sue for damages.
But essentially, yeah. It's looking for a way to get its money back, and it's going to be quite a lot of money. A 10-year exclusive agreement.
Yeah. But I remember chatting to Jeffrey Hedberg, the Telkom CEO, about this issue, and he made no bones about the fact that they had to terminate the Blue Label agreement because this on its own was unsustainable. I know there were agreements with a number of other operators there, including Helios Towers, for tower sharing arrangements, which was also costing Telkom and Multilinx a lot of money. But they're finally pulling out of Multilinx wireless business, and a very costly mistake. Let's hope they don't repeat it.
Indeed. One wonders, though, where Multilinx subsidiary, the Blue Label subsidiary, will get the money from, whether it be from Multilinx directly or from Telkom itself.
Yeah, watch the space. Another court battle in the offing for Telkom.
To add to the list, yes, the growing list.
There is a very long list of Competition Commission and High Court battles, and it's a company that seems to be forever in front of the regulator or in front of a court of law. Good. I think, Candice, we've run slightly over 30 minutes and we try and keep the show to half an hour, so let's call it there. Thanks again for listening to this week's show, and if you have any feedback, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. From myself, Duncan McLeod, and Candice Jones, we hope you have a good week and we'll chat to you next time. Bye.